at times is becoming farcical. And you have to really feel for these players and management. This isn't normal in any shape or form.
For your first chance to hear Brian O'Driscoll on OTB, download the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications.
OTB AM with Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
Okay, we're going to hear from Michael Deignan in just a couple of minutes about the special congress about the future of Gaelic football. But I'm delighted to welcome back to the show Conor O'Donoghue, who was part of the committee that came up with the original options that are going to be put to special congress, and who joined us on the show last week to strongly endorse option B, plan B, whatever you want to call it, which will essentially flip the league from spring to the summer, and that'll be the competition that everybody enters to try and win Sam Maguire. Conor, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, Ger. How are you doing?
I'm good. I see from the papers this morning, and in fairness, the Irish Independent are leading with it on the back page with the numbers that you've crunched, which was kind of an answer to the question that was posed by Brian McAvoy in the show and in other places. People are saying, we don't know what the financial implications of Plan B are. You sat in studio and said, from a financial perspective, it's a no-brainer. You've gone and crunched the numbers and done the work to try and put some meat on the bones of that argument for us. So maybe just give us the top line and explain to us how you applied the logic and then what the results were.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Ger. Look, I mean, numbers were done before and certainly gone through, and they looked really, really good from a financial perspective. So I suppose this is just about putting real, real flesh on bones in terms of some of the assumptions that are made. But the bottom line is that if the league's championship format was in 2019 and 2018, based on very, very conservative assumptions, I would say, you're talking about 8 million extra, roughly, on average in central council figures, and you're talking 2 plus provincial bodies. So you're talking a total of about 10 million or thereabouts that would be added to coffers. And really the reason for that, Ger, I mean, it's exactly as described before. It's just the quantity of games. It means everyone is playing every week. It's not Dublin and Mayo, for example, that are playing 7, 8, 9, 10 games per annum. Every county is playing it. Every Division One county is playing it. So even allowing for significant reductions in attendance, just the quantity, as Napoleon says, is a quality all of its own. And it just means that those summer games, there's so much more of them. That is going to result in extra revenue, undoubtedly.
Okay, so that's nice, short and sweet. Just to go back and parse that a little bit, the provincial councils are, I think, the ones who are most concerned about the erosion of the link between the provincial championship and the All-Ireland, but also the money. That was the other thing that came through. Like, this is turkeys voting for Christmas was the direct quote from Brian McAvoy. In your estimates, the provincial councils will actually be better off under Plan B.
Yeah, and again, it's the same thing, Gerb. I mean, there's very few provincial games. That's the reality of it. They're all knockout games. They're one-off games. Will they, on an individual basis, attract more paying customers? Sure, absolutely, no question about that. But the fact that you're multiplying the number of provincial games by roughly three or thereabouts, it just gives you so much more scope to take revenue in. And provincial councils, I mean, particularly Ulster, you'd have to say, where interest, again, we've spoken about this before, will be focused and concentrated, even allowing for some pretty, I would say, concern. I just think these numbers are going to be higher. But we're talking about 65-odd% additional versus the three-year average revenue in the last years before COVID. So, I mean, for me, again, the number of games here is going to be your friend from a financial perspective. You don't need huge attendances to make these numbers work. You just have a lot of games. And, again, ticket prices, we're talking fairly muted ticket prices versus even what we know the cost of an Ulster final is 35 odd euro. We know the cost of a Leinster final is 40 odd euro. But even allowing for relatively modest numbers, you're still talking about significant increases. And again, the number of games here is your friend. In Leinster, I suppose, I mean, to be frank, Dublin is clearly the financial monster in the room, and when they play, their revenue or their spectator numbers are much higher than everyone else's, and you have to assume that they would be thereabouts in Leinster finals again for the next couple of years. And again, if you're talking any sort of, I'm from Meath, and Ger, I know you're looking for Kildare to do a little bit more in the years to come as well. I suspect that those Leinster final numbers, etc., could be higher too. So, yeah, it's again, forget about anything else in terms of the standard of the competition. From a financial perspective, this makes an awful lot of sense.
So you took the available audience figures, attendance figures for 2018 and 2019, and applied a logic to what might happen. What kind of a financial or what kind of a numerical formula did you apply to try and come up with what the crowd figures might be for a summer championship?
So for summer championship, we had a look at the Super 8 games that were there. And we know in the Super 8 format, given there's no consequence to the last number of games for about half the teams, some of the attendances fell off. We still use those numbers. And on average, including double headers, so we halved for double headers, around 18,000. And the 2 years were quite consistent. The attendances started strong and fell away as a consequence. But we used that as a number for Division 1. What that number might apply across the board. Just to sense check it, we did a separate calculation just to see if we handballed every single Division 1 attendance, what it might look like. And that number came out at about 20,000. But we used the smaller figure, the Super 8 figure. And then what we did was, what happens in National League typically is the Division 1 games tend to obviously get significantly more revenue. Over a couple of years, you can see that the step down is about one third or 33%. So we stepped down Division 2 attendance figures to get a number of about 5,000. And we stepped it down right again by one third on each occasion to Division 3, Division 4. So by the time we got to Division 4, you were talking about a couple of hundred spectators, which didn't make sense really from a champ. So we stepped that up slightly to about 2,000 spectators for a summer championship game in Division 4. And then we applied that across the board, used ticket prices of €20 and €15 for Tarleton Cup. The Super 8 ticket price were €25. We're trying to allow for students, OAP, juveniles, etc. And that's what we arrived at. And again, just to reiterate, Ger, it's the number of games that's your friend. There's 112 summer championship games. So will numbers be lower than knockout games? Yeah, absolutely, no question. But will there be enough people to make this work? Yeah, I think so.
And the key point in that, Conor, is trying to assess games that were of consequence. And you mentioned there a couple of the games without consequence in the Super 8s, which I think people have used as a prism to view Proposal B through. And I crunched some of the numbers last week and came up with the fact that there was 4 out of the 112 regulation games in the last full National League that was played in 2020 that were dead rubbers. So it is a tiny percentage of games that won't be of consequence, actually a far smaller percentage than in the Super 8s. Then the other thing, Conor, just to add on before you finish up here, is that this isn't a full financial picture. As you say, you're being conservative enough here in your figures. But then in the other bracket, you have sponsorship and media rights, which, given the extra volume of games, is surely going up.
Yeah, and I spoke to one of the most senior commercial figures in sport in the country over the last week. And I mean, he's shaking his head and just saying, listen, there's so much scope there. I mean, the big thing clearly from a sponsorship and a media rights perspective is clearly live television and what happens there. Because live sport with Netflix and all of the rest is where it's at in terms of advertising. And there's just a big opportunity set there. And there's nothing taken into account on this as well. And I've spoken to a number of figures in this space, and they may join you at some stage, but it's that side of the revenue numbers are completely unexplored. And I'd say that's another exciting source of revenue. And just to be clear on this, I mean, the GAA puts all of that money back into the association. I mean, it doesn't give anyone a share bonus or anything like that. That money goes back to counties. So those funds can be used by counties. We could talk all day about the season tickets and how that operates, but I won't even go into that this morning, guys. But again, those funds go back into the association when they're generated. So this is a big opportunity set for the GA.
Okay, Conor, good stuff. Are you happy enough for us to publish the detail of your proposal? Because I see it's in the papers today. Yeah. And I think it would be good for it to get out there and be circulated and let everybody kind of parse through it and in typical Irish fashion take shots at it. But I think you've robustly defended it. And I see certainly there's a consistency to the logic the whole way through that should carry any of those arguments.
You know, absolutely, that can be circulated. It's no problem. I mean, to stress test it, it needs first division attendances to go below 10,000 for summer championship games. So Dublin games, Kerry games, it needs to go below 10,000 Division One and below 3,000 Division Two. So that's the Meads, the Corks, and that's at an average ticket price of €20 before it starts to just do exactly what the previous championship did.
Yeah.
So, There's significant scope within that as well.
Okay. Conor, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us this morning. Cheers.
Thanks, guys.
That's Conor O'Donoghue there, who was on the task force. I'm delighted to say we also have Michael Dignan with us this morning. Michael, good morning to you. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, lads.
We've been covering this story now for a couple of weeks and kind of there's a few other people who have been covering it, in fairness, the same length of time, but it hasn't quite taken off. Or maybe it's just about to take off as a discussion point. The GPA came out last week. I think, If I'm right, counties like your own were kind of gestating on the information and looking at the presentations that have been given and coming to a conclusion. So what's your instinct about how big an issue this is going to be over the next week and a half in particular?
I think it should be very big, Ger, because I think it's very, very important. I think it's an opportunity to change the direction of the football championship for the better. That's my own personal opinion first. I come back to the county's opinion in a minute. I think as a player, and I played for a long time myself, you want to be playing championship matches in the good weather in the summer. It's a huge opportunity. And particularly when we see the lopsided nature of matches over the last, it has always been that, I suppose, in the GAA, but this is an opportunity for teams to play meaningful matches against teams of their own calibre. And we've seen over the last number of years, the National League has really caught the attention of the people, and the players enjoy it because they're close matches. And we're also not losing out. We're not losing anything. We're not losing our provincial championships. We're not losing, you know, our All-Ireland series. It's just a different way of getting there. And what it's going to do is give players, supporters, opportunities to go and play week in, week out in the good weather for crowds of people to get out and go to the matches in provincial venues. And it's, to me, it's very, very positive. And it's certainly well worth trying. And if there's tweaks needed, I just see some commentary that maybe there's a few tweaks needed before maybe bring it back next year. But, you know, I think you can go ahead with it and you will learn. I don't think a system brought out yet that was perfect at the start. But it's certainly going to be, in my view, way better. One of the big concerns from a county board point of view, and if you take in our case, we're in Leinster, the provincial council in Leinster Council have been so supportive of counties like ourselves, like going back to Michael Delaney's time in Leinster, Michael Reynolds now as chief executive, you know, we wouldn't, you know, we had fantastic facilities in Offaly O'Connor Park. The Faithful Fields would be our biggest project. And John Horn was chairman of Leinster when that kicked off. And without his support at the time, that wouldn't have happened because he was the Leinster Council were the first people who said, look, we have this grant aid for you here, and made that happen. And now we're in looking for six coaches at the minute. Leinster Council are behind us again. There's a few roadblocks at the minute, with redundancies, etc., in the association, and it's just delayed slightly. But again, they're fully supportive of us. So I think the one thing, and Conor has, you know, Conor's report there, it'll be very interesting to see how that's, but this is very late in the day, I think, for the financial implications or the discussion to be coming out, because there's been no information passed on. And there is a fear in provincial councils that they might lose some of their independence and that ability to support and to So what I would have thought was it would have been very sensible to guarantee a sort of maybe an average figure over maybe the five pre-COVID years, to guarantee that sort of income to the provincial councils as a first point. And then if things are exceeded, then you can provide extra funding. But I think that's created a little bit of a fear. And even last night we had a county committee meeting, and that was just one of the things that the delegates asked us to, you know, to get more information on was, you know, what would be the financial implication for the provincial council, and to make sure that they weren't put in a position where there's concern over their ability to operate independently of Croke Park. So in overall, I think it's very positive. we've been in touch. Our players met on it. They came back to me, the players' reps, and they're 100% supportive of Plan B. I met our team management last week, John Mahan, Tomás O'Shea and the lads, and they're again fully supportive. And our county committee, then county management and county committee, are also behind Plan B. But as I said, there was some concern over the financial implications.
Okay, and does what Conor's saying, I realise it is late in the day, but is it too late in your view to carry the day? Because if the figures hold up, and it would be very easy for Croke Park to come out and say, yeah, they do hold up, and also very easy, your idea is a great one, and I think it makes perfect sense to say, over the next 3 years, we're going to run this experiment, we'll make sure that your income is the same, at least as it was, because centrally we believe there's going to be an opportunity for us to generate more funds. We think you might even generate more funds locally yourselves, if Conor's maths stack up, that it's worth trialling for 3 years.
Absolutely. I think it's an I think that, but again, you have to realise you're dealing with, you know, an association that is relatively conservative and a little bit afraid of change. So I think it would have been, and there's still time, as you say. But I think the youth drawn, you know, generally would have to keep maybe out of this, you know, in terms of giving a personal opinion. But I think maybe, you know, I think Tom Ryan could come out and discuss some of these issues and give some surety around them. Because anyone that I've been talking to realises, well, I know you've had some different views on the programme, particularly with Ulster, but, you know, people, if you're being realistic about it, like, you have to listen to your players. And they're the ones that, I wouldn't call it a sacrifice, they want to do what they're doing. And I always, you know, I think go back and ask any county player, it was the best days of your life, you really enjoy doing it. But it is a huge commitment. And why not listen to them? You know, because as far as I can see, I haven't heard or any, and you can correct me on this, but I think, you know, it's been fairly unanimous among the players, among the managers around the country. And I think, you know, on a trial period, what have we got to lose? Especially if that financial sort of surety is given. So I would encourage, you know, people to think along those lines. I can't speak for any other county. We're all independent, and we'll think along our own lines. But we have certainly considered in great detail at Offaly, and, you know, a wide range of people, as I say, from our management committee and the county board and our delegates last night, right down to the most important people, our players, and then a wide range of people on our management. I met 11 members of the management and backroom team the other night, and we had a very good discussion on it. And we just think it could be revolutionary in terms of the enjoyment and of the opportunities. I know there's downside. There are a few things. Look, you know, you can be second in Division 3 or 4 and get promoted, and then someone else could win the Tottenham Cup and you might go up and things like that, you know. But there's little tweaks that will be, and maybe some of them aren't so little, and they might emerge during it, but you can always change those.
Yeah.
So I just think it's a fantastic opportunity to show a bit of leadership, a bit of forward thinking, and bring a bit of excitement back in, because, like, nobody wants to see a continuation of these hammerings that have been going on over the last number of years in Championship. And just look at the average losses that some of these teams are taking. And if you want these lads to continue to play inter-county football and put in the time and effort that's needed, you want to take their views very, very seriously now, because we could look back in a few years' time and where life is changing, society is changing all the time, and maybe players won't continue to put up with the status quo.
Yeah, I can actually see a situation where somebody plays under county and then doesn't go back to their club because they're so fed up with the game itself. And look, you know, we're in the realms of speculation there, but it's not a guarantee that you'll continue to play a sport where you're getting humiliated in public representing your county when it was your dream as a child, and actually you end up getting beaten 30 points by Mayo or Dublin or whoever it is in the situation that we have at the moment. Can I just ask you what actually happens now? So as a county, your executive have decided that you're going to be in favour of it. How many delegates do you guys get to send to Special Congress, and are they specifically mandated then on the day to vote for Plan B?
Yeah, we have three delegates. We normally would have five, so it's reduced, obviously, because of COVID. So myself, the County Secretary, and our Central Council delegate. Yeah, so we are mandated now, and I suppose we're entrusted by our delegates now. As I said, the only caveat was that it should be forthcoming, because is to get some, you know, more information around the financial input. But as far as the proposal goes, yeah, the Offaly GAA will be supporting Proposal B.
How much would it help a county like you, your delegates and the delegates of other counties, Michael, to hear somebody higher up in the GAA give the thumbs up to maybe the figures that we heard this morning and say, yeah, that all stacks up and this is all in the clear? Just that extra sense that might give people a bit more trust about the whole thing, because that seems to be the issue here.
Yeah, it's not really true. It's that, look, our relationship in Offaly GAA, and look, we have, I suppose, it's a bit unusual that some of our funding will come from Croke Park, obviously, you know, in terms of how the division of funds, but your relationship on the ground on a day-to-day level is with your provincial council, you know, with Michael Reynolds, with the coaching team, James Devan, Adam Mulhall over there, with John Brown on the financial side. They're the people that really, you know, that you know better, that you're working with on a daily basis. So those, I'm also on the management of Leinster, because there's four chairmen that revolves every year, and it would be I think people would might think it's you know, maybe the provincial council trying to protect their own patch. It's not that at all. It's on the ground, the work that they do with the clubs, with the county. You know, James Devan, the coaching officer that looks after Offaly, would be around, you know, and down on the ground as part of this process that we're going through to try to build our coaching on the ground. And as I say, we have five coaching staff at the minute, two GPOs. We have an application gone in and accepted by Leinster for six more GPOs, and we're hoping maybe another two or three next year. But we need the expertise and the support and the HR element of Leinster to do that, because we don't have a HR element. Like, it's a huge, I think, advantage for the Dublins, and I know I often wonder how they must have their own HR. Cork, I think, looking at the staff they have, and maybe other counties have, but we don't have the resources to set up a HR and employ people. So we depend on Leinster for all of that. Then if we're doing developments in our clubs or everything, Leinster's and Croke Park as well would be involved in terms of grant aid. But, you know, it feeds up through Leinster up to Croke Park. So that relationship, that whole system, it works. It works really, really well. So I think if people, you know, I think if it is certainly a fear on the ground in provincial councils that they may lose, you know, some control, some of their own autonomy. And to answer your question, I think it would be massive. And I think, you know, there's a responsibility on the GAA to come out and sort of answer that, because there must be some cost analysis. You know, we've heard from Conor this morning. There has to be. And as you mentioned there, the commercial side, the TV rights, you know, the opportunity to build on this and to really promote these matches in the provincial towns, maybe some Friday night matches, Saturday evening matches, you know, which can bring great life and great energy to the communities. So I think, you know, a good strong statement from sort of the hierarchy. And, you know, sometimes you have to put your neck in. I know it's down to the toes, but, you know, you have to say, yes, look, we think this will be good for the association. We think that this will be well worked. And I say, you're only talking about a 3-year trial. The GAA has been around a long, long time. It'll be around for a long time to come. So I can't see any downside in getting in behind this and really supporting our players and what they're looking for. And I say, we're all looking for, really, it's not just the players, but I think, you know, they're the ones that, as I say, that that are playing these matches and they really enjoy it. They can see that the league matches are so, you know, they're played in the depths of the winter, but they're so close, they're so exciting. Mm. There's very little between the teams in a general sense. And can you imagine when you transfer that over into the better weather and the longer evenings? I think we'd have a great championship ahead.
I think that's an underrated part of this, that for 8, 9, 10, 12 weeks of the summertime, there's going to be big games in Tullamore, in Athlone, in Navan, in Newbridge. Like in non-urban areas, there's going to be a transfer of people coming and going, spending money and having parties, and like just generally the whole country could do with that.
Yeah, well, I look at, as you say, look, we don't have all the answers. But you have to have an opinion, and I think I would agree with all of that. So you'd imagine, you know, that's it, and you know, that's not there at the minute. It's a huge opportunity, and it's a huge opportunity to balance out a lot of things. Maybe won't be as many, and you can still use Croke Park. You know, there might be an opportunity there to you know, maybe play not double header in Croke Park as well, because players love the opportunity to get there, and it's very hard for players in the lower division. Look, there's loads of things you can look at in the overall. There would be a responsibility, I'm sure, towards you know, people that corporate ticket people in Croke Park as well, that, you know, would have bought tickets on a promise of so many matches being there. So that all has to be considered. So, like, it's not a simple thing to fix, but there are, to me, there are positives far outweigh the possible negatives. There are a few, as I say, negatives or maybe tweaks that might be needed down the road. But I think generally there's people feel it's the right thing right across the country, and it's then to get to 60%. But I don't think there's any support for Proposal A for teams to go out into other provinces. So it's this or stay as we are. And I think it'll be a very backward step to stay as we are with all the problems that we know we've had over the years.
Do you know what, Michael? I think people listening to you this morning would have gained a good bit of hope that your delegates going to Congress are actually unanimously in favour of this, because I think you kind of touched on it yourself there, that the GAA can be a conservative enough organisation, and there is this feeling out there that the people who go to Congress are the very kind of the living proof of that, almost, that they are conservative. But actually, from what you're saying, there was good discussion that happened in Offaly, good constructive debate that happened, and you've come to the conclusion. And I think that'll give people a lot of hope that all the other county boards around Ireland are doing a similar thing.
Yeah, well, I tell you, I qualify, in a general sense, it's not conservative. It's just that there is, you know, you don't know what way things are going to go. So you're taking a little bit of a shot in the unknown. But I think, look, the evidence is there. And I say, if somebody came out and just said, look, we've looked at this under these headings, and this is what we think, and it will work or should work, I think that would give great hope. But the other thing just about our delegates, you know, I see them in there last night. It was the first, actually, physical meeting since March 2019. And, you know, it's another thing, a huge challenge facing the association is the work that volunteers are doing on the ground. You know, we actually at the minute have no full-time staff in Offaly. Our operations manager retired some months ago and we haven't replaced him yet. And, you know, some counties have a huge amount. I've talked about this before in terms of equality of funding, etc. But, you know, the time and effort even for club, like the amount of matches and this split season has caused, I suppose, a huge... Like we also have all of last year's championships. Like, well, not all of them, but we had to finish our senior hurling championship. We had all our underage competitions. And we have finished all of them now, and we're getting to knockout stages and all of these years. But we're running right up to the third week in November. And the work rate on these people, and you know, there can be criticism. It actually annoys me intensely when I hear people talking about these fogies and the GAA, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm one of those myself now. But the work that they put in on the ground on a day-to-day basis and the pressure that they're under and the responsibility of even chairing a club now and or secretary of a club, the work rate is absolutely... It's massive, and I have nothing but the highest regard for all of these people, but it is going to be a challenge into the future. Like you don't see too many people maybe under 40 years of age or 50 years of age maybe even at these and even club meetings or county meetings anymore. And it's going to take a lot of thinking as well and soul searching, I think, in terms of, you know, recruiting new people. And I see how hard it is to fill any role with the right people. And there's a lot of roles that you need to fill to be able to operate properly and successfully. It's nothing to do with today's debate, but it's a huge challenge.
I think it feeds into it, Michael, to be honest. I think that...
Everything feeds it.
Do you know, I do. I think if everybody agrees at the start, this is our plan now for the next 3 years, it'll be a much more vibrant place. It'll be, I think, easier to get people to come because, you know... I definitely, talking to players over the last 10 years from counties that weren't the three or four counties who believed they could win in all Ireland, there was this sense of what's the point? And it kind of feeds into a lot of people's decision. They're going to just volunteer for the club. They're not going to go on to be a delegate at county board because ultimately they're in a second or third tier organisation that isn't actually quite respected centrally the way it should be. But I believe that this is an opportunity for every county to get the respect it deserves, to have full home grounds for matches that are meaningful at the end of a training period that everybody's been training for the same amount of time. I don't know, it just feels like we're ready for an explosion here, and for whatever reason there's a blockage.
Yeah, no, there's a great opportunity to breathe new life, and I agree with you, because like it does need that and you need that all the time in terms of driving the team forward. And and look, I think maybe, you know, I suppose, you know, county boards are, as you said, they're so busy as well, lads. And like, you can't underestimate this. Like, there's 10 motions on, and we've looked at them in detail. We've discussed them at management level in terms of what way we're going to. We had a brief discussion on them last night at county. Like, some of them are minor enough in comparison to this one, but you know, there's some interesting ones in there as well. And to take the time and to go through them and to tease them out and analyse them and to discuss them and to reach a consensus. That all takes, you know, and to go and talk to a lot of online meetings as well over the last 18 months. And there's so much happening on a day-to-day basis. There's matches coming at you every night in clubs and everything else. And this is what happens, that things like this don't maybe get the attention that they should get. And then they're maybe not passed, or they are, you know, whatever, or maybe wrong decisions are made.
Yeah.
You know, for like, there's little ones we would have, like the giant captains, like, what difference does it make that just two lads go up and accept a cup? You know, and it just happens and slips through because people aren't thinking, and that's a very minor issue. But so I just think stand back and say go through a process. Talk to your players, really engage with them. Talk to your management. Talk to your delegates. It takes a few days. It takes and explain what to, because I see a lot of people out there, even involved in clubs all over the country, don't fully understand what's actually happening with this.
No, I think that's fair enough. So just my last point on this is you actually haven't seen official documentation around the finances yet. That hasn't been communicated with you guys. And presumably it hasn't been communicated with the provincial council either, because they would have passed it on to you to say, look, this is what the financial projections for plan A look like. This is what they look like for plan B. And this is the status quo.
Correct.
And you want those?
Yeah, I think it's very important. I think it's very important to give that. I think if coming from your provincial council is down to give that, I think that would certainly add a lot of weight to the decision making that's going to happen at Special Congress.
Okay, good stuff, Michael. Thanks a million for taking the time to join us this morning. I think it's important to get the viewpoint of people who have a meaningful voice and who are actually going to be there putting their hands up or pressing the button. Hopefully it's a yes for Plan B, but we'll see. Thanks a million.
Okay, lads, cheers. Good talk to you.